He actually wanted to kill Lord Nityananda and steal all his jewelry. Lord Nityananda would dress. Actually, this took place a lot later on when Lord Nityananda returned on the order of Lord Chaitanya to preach. So he used to dress himself extremely opulently with all gold necklaces and big long solid gold earrings with diamonds and immense great opulence he would wear all the time. And he'd just chant and dance in ecstasy. So this dacoit wanted to rob him. So actually what I'm going to do, I'm going to read it from Chaitanya Bhagavat, because there's a benediction at the end that one who hears properly this story of the deliverance of the dacoits is assured to see face to face both Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So that is the benediction. So if anyone's interested in seeing Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya face to face, then please hear the story properly all the way through with rapt attention. Don't fall asleep. It's quite a long story. There's a little long. Dear devotees, please listen to this wonderful story of how Lord Nityananda saved the most fallen. In Navadvip lived a young Brahmin who was the biggest rogue and dacoit. Although born in a Brahmin family, he was a storehouse of all depraved habits and was the leader of the dacoits. He was brutally malicious and killed without feeling. He was always in the company of rogues. Once this dacoit leader saw Lord Nityananda bedecked with all the fineries and priceless jewels. And he gloated after this treasure, wanting to steal it all. So, pretending to be a member of the Lord Sankirtan party, the dacoit went along with the chanting party wherever they went. He was biding time for the right opportunity to steal everything. Lord Nityananda immediately knew his wicked intentions. The Lord, learning of this, left his party and went quietly to live in Hiranya Pandit's house. Hiranya Pandit was a very pious Brahmin and lived frugally, which is becoming of a true Brahmin. In the meanwhile, the dacoit leader called his men and they chalked out a plan. He said, "My brothers, why should we worry any longer? Our protector, Goddess Chandi, Durga, has arranged for all wealth to be in one place. This Avaduta has on his person gold, gems and jewelry worth lakhs of rupees. He's right now hiding in Hiranya Pandit's house, which is in a secluded and lonely part of town. Collect your swords and shields, and we shall meet tonight and raid that house and loot everything." They dispersed quickly and quietly, eagerly waiting for night to descend, when they could carry out their nefarious crime. That night, the dacoits, with their weapons collected near the house where the Lord was staying. They sent a spy to get proper information. Lord Nityananda was enjoying a sumptuous meal with all his associates sitting around him and chanting loudly. The devotees were all submerged in the bliss of chanting Lord Krishna's holy name. Some roared jubilantly like thunderclaps. Others wailed loudly in insatiable joy. And still others clapped their hands and laughed in glee. All around, the devotees were crying out loudly, expressing their unrestrained joy. They were all wide awake. The spy returned to the gang and informed them, "The Avaduta is eating and everyone else is wide awake and jubilant." So the dacoits decided, "Let them eat and go to sleep, then we'll attack the house." They made themselves comfortable under a tree and settled down to wait. They started talking among themselves, dreaming of their future fortunes. Someone said, "I want the gold bracelets." Another said, "I'll take the pearl necklace." Another fancied, "The earrings are for me." Yet another dreamed, I'll have the gold chains and necklaces. Someone else said, but leave the silver ankle bells for me. And they went on daydreaming of enormous riches. Just then, by Lord Nityananda's arrangement, sleep overcame the whole dacoit gang. Right there under the tree, the dacoits went into a deep sleep. Such are the workings of the Lord's divine potency that they slept through the whole night undisturbed, in a state of complete unconsciousness. The crow's harsh cawing woke them up early next morning. They became disheartened and frustrated to find that the whole night had passed. They collected their weapons, and keeping them in safe hiding, they went to the Ganga for their baths. Even though they're dacoits, they take their morning bath. Vedic dacoits. After the bath, they began to blame each other. One of them accused another, "You were the first to fall asleep." And the other replied, "So you were the one who stayed awake all night?" Someone tried to pacify them, saying, "Why do you have to fight like this? Be thankful that Goddess Chandi has saved us from total shame." The young Brahmin leader said, "What use are these arguments? Whatever has happened is due to Goddess Chandi's desire. The passing of one day is not the end of everything. I can understand that because we did not worship Mother Chandi before, she has deluded us all. Today, let us perform a grand Chandi worship with a lot of meat and wine." They eagerly collected the required ingredients and meat and wine and worshipped Goddess Chandi that night. The next day, the dacoits sharpened and cleaned their weapons. In the night, they came to Lord Nityananda's residence, dressed in dark blue clothes. The residents of the house were already fast asleep. But, hiding near the house, the dacoits saw that the house was guarded by many sentries. The sentries were all well armed and were all loudly and continuously chanting the holy name as they walked about guarding the house. All of the sentries were giant-sized, able-bodied men. They carried many different weapons. The dacoits could easily make out that any one of the sentries could take on 100 of them alone. These sentries were not ordinary guards. They wore tilak on their foreheads and bodies and tulsi beads around their necks. They constantly chanted Lord Krishna's holy name while Lord Nityananda slept inside the house. The dacoits were taken by complete surprise. They slowly slouched away to a distance from the house and sat down. They wondered dejectedly, from where did these sentries come so suddenly? One of them said, "The Avaduta must have somehow known of our coming, and he brought these sentries from somewhere." His friend replied, "This Avaduta person is very knowledgeable and is a seer. I've heard this from many people. He can certainly protect himself. These sentries on guard are much more formidable than normal sentries. They're actually superhuman. Perhaps it's a display of some divine potency of this Avaduta's. No wonder they call him Goswami." Another interjected, "I think you're quite ignorant. For one who eats and wears such fancy ornaments, how can he be called a Goswami, controller of the senses?" Finally, the dacoit leader, the young Brahmin, spoke up, saying, "I've calmly considered all the factors. I see that many powerful and influential people come to meet this Avaduta. These sentries must be the best soldiers of some powerful king come here to guard him. And these sentries, by his influence, have become attracted to spiritual elevation. Therefore, they're also chanting, Hari, Hari. So as long as these sentries are there, we should stay away. I think that after 10 days, they'll be gone, and then we'll return." So then the dacoits left the place, and Lord Nityananda continued his pastimes there. say now. So after 10 days, the dacoits made another attempt to lay siege to Lord Nityananda's residence. That night, by divine arrangement, the sky was overcast with black, billowing clouds that plunged the earth in pitch darkness. The streets were deserted. The dacoits held their weapons close to their bodies, feeling insecure in the sudden, terrible gloom. As soon as they came close to the house, suddenly they were all struck by blindness. They stumbled forward, groping as if in a dark abyss, their minds paralyzed, their intelligences unable to function. Some of them plunged into a moat which surrounded the house and were immediately attacked by leeches, insects, and giant mosquitoes. Some of them lost their way into the rubbish pit and fell in. The insects and scorpions in the rubbish pit were unsparing and vicious. Some others walked straight into a bush of thorns and became completely entangled and bruised and cut by the big, cruel thorns. Afraid to move in the dark and be further punctured, they remained there like prisoners, unmoving. Others had somehow ventured far from the house and in the darkness fallen into a canal and lay moaning and groaning in pain with broken legs and arms. Some other dacoits suddenly developed terrible fevers. They began to slowly consider their plight. But just at that moment, Lord Indra, with great pleasure, sent down sheets of rain, accompanied by raging storms and ominous lightning. Already the dacoits were being ravaged by leeches, scorpions, and mosquitoes, and now they are being further afflicted by this merciless downpour. Then came huge pieces of hail, pounding them endlessly. The dacoits were wishing they could die, but they couldn't. They were tossed about in an ocean of excruciating pain and misery. Blinded and drenched, they began to shiver with the clammy coldness, standing helpless against the fury of material nature. Lord Indra, knowing that the dacoits had come to harm Lord Nityananda, became angry and punished them especially hard. After taking this punishment for a while, the dacoit leader, the young Brahmin, was suddenly struck by a thought. He reasoned in his mind, "This Nityananda is not a mortal. He's certainly the Supreme Lord. The first time he put us in a deep slumber, and I didn't understand what was happening by his illusory potency. The next time it was these very strange superhuman sentries, but even then I couldn't realize the truth. Hence, I deserve this misery because I'm such a sinful rascal that I wanted to steal from the Lord himself. Yet, now I'm faced with this insurmountable danger. Who can save me except Lord Nityananda himself?" Thinking in this way, he began to meditate on Lord Nityananda's lotus feet, taking full shelter of the Lord. The result of taking shelter and remembering the Lord's lotus feet is that even such a person, even though the lowest of sinners, is immediately saved. Within himself, the young Brahmin prayed, "You're the Supreme Lord, Bal Gopal. So please save me. Please protect me. You're the maintainer of all living entities. O Lord, a person who falls down on the ground, who falls to the earth. If a person falls to the earth, his only shelter is Mother Earth herself. Similarly, one who commits offenses at your lotus feet can seek the only shelter, your lotus feet, by which all miseries are mitigated. And you are so..." "...true that even if the most sinful person prays for your shelter, then even he can become free from this material imprisonment. O Lord, you sustain all the living entities throughout their lives, and at the end, only you are there to protect them. So, my Lord, please save me today from this predicament. And if I remain alive, then I've certainly learned my lesson. I only desire that I can have you, birth after birth, as my Lord and Master, and I can be your eternal slave. Lord Nityananda is the most munificent Supreme Lord. When he heard the piteous prayers of the dacoit leader, he immediately alleviated his misery. Suddenly, the dacoits found themselves able to see again. By the Lord's divine powers, the storm and the gale didn't afflict them any further. Gradually, they found they were able to move and walk as if they had risen from their graves. They returned to their individual houses and right away bathed in the purifying waters of the Ganga. The dacoit leader had different feelings. He began to weep incessantly. He didn't go anywhere, but went inside the house, wanting to meet the Lord and throw himself at the Lord's lotus feet. Inside, the Lord of the universe, Lord Nityananda, was sitting and glancing benignly at all the miserable, conditioned souls. The devotees all around him were chanting loudly, and the Lord himself roared like thunder with divine bliss. At this moment, the dacoit leader entered into the Lord's presence. He threw his arms into the sky and cried out, "Save me! Save me!" Then he threw himself on the ground before the Lord. His whole body shook, and the hair on his body stood on end as tears flowed from his eyes in streams. Totally absorbed in sublime ecstasy, he became oblivious of his surroundings, and he roared like a lion, unable to stop the surge of divine emotions. Such was the spiritual influence of Lord Nityananda that the Brahmin began to suddenly dance with his arms raised high, laughing and laughing with irrepressible glee. He sang continuously, "O Lord Nityananda, O Savior of the fallen souls, you are my only master." The devotees and the other people assembled there were astounded at the sight. They exclaimed, "What a miraculous transformation from a deadly dacoit to this condition." The more cautious one said, "Maybe this is just a trick. Maybe he'll start his real business of looting just now." Others said, "Our Lord Nityananda is the savior of the most abominable sinners. By his mercy, this demon has been transformed." Lord Nityananda, seeing this display of extreme spiritual emotions, smiled and said, "O Brahman, please explain the reason for your present behavior. I've noticed some wonderful expressions in you. What have you seen or heard relating to Lord Krishna that has prompted you to act in this manner? Tell us everything without being constrained." The fortunate Brahman stood dumbfounded for some time, hearing the Lord's words, and only unrestricted tears flowed freely from his eyes. Then he fell to the ground and started rolling, crying loudly, sometimes laughing loudly, sometimes springing up and dancing and singing. All his actions were spontaneous and natural. The Brahman calmed himself after a while and began to speak in the Lord's presence. He said, "O my Lord Nityananda, I'm a resident of Navadvip and a Brahmin in name only. Actually, my behavior is that of the lowest caste of Chandalas, dog eaters. My nature is as vicious as a hunter's. From my early days, I've always been in the company of thieves and dacoits. Hence, I know only violence, hatred, and murder. The residents of Navadvip shake in fear at my sight, and there's not a sin left that I have not committed. When I saw your beautiful ornaments, I wanted to steal them. So one night, I gathered my dacoit gang and came to loot these jewelries from your transcendental body. But that night you put every one of us into deep slumber. Yet by your illusory potency, I could not understand that your hand was behind this extraordinary phenomenon. A few days later, we made another attempt. This time, we properly worshipped Goddess Chandi, and then came with well-oiled and sharpened weapons. Yet another miraculous spectacle awaited us. We saw your house surrounded by tall, stout guards, marching about, chanting the holy name loudly. All of them were wearing long garlands reaching down to their knees. You were safe and unperturbed, slept within the house. We're so wretched that even then we could not recognize your divine status. Disgruntled, we muttered, who knows where these sentries have come from, and then shuffled away to our houses. Before our third attempt, we waited for quite a few days. Then yesterday we came, and instantly upon arrival we lost our vision. We stumbled into the compound of this house, unable to see, and fell into ditches and thorny bushes. The storm, hail, and rains mercilessly tortured us, though we were helpless against them. After we'd gone through hellish punishment and pain, everyone gradually became enlightened about your causeless mercy. By your grace, we began to remember your lotus feet. Our sight returned, and we were able to see in the true sense. Such is your causeless mercy. Hence, you are the savior of the most fallen souls. You are so magnanimous that simply by thinking of you, I was let free from this hellish distress. Anyone can easily enter the spiritual world, destroying all nescience within, simply by meditating on you. Speaking in this way, the Brahmin began to cry and dance, flaying his arms around wildly. Such are the super excellent pastimes of the Supreme Lord Nityananda. The assembled devotees were astounded hearing the Brahmin speak, and they felt great regard for him, and they offered him respect. The Brahmin began speaking once more. O Lord, now I beg permission to leave. I have no desire to maintain this body any longer. As I've nurtured malicious intent in my heart towards you, I must repent. I'll cast this useless body into the Ganga and finish my life. The Lord and the devotees were moved by the Brahmin's sincerity. The Lord then replied, O Brahmin, you're truly a very fortunate soul. You're an elevated servitor of Lord Krishna. How is it otherwise possible for you to witness these miracles? Because you are a recipient of Lord Krishna's mercy. You are his beloved servant. The Supreme Lord Chaitanya has invented to save the most fallen souls. Of this there's no doubt. Now, listen carefully, O Brahman. From this moment, if you give up your ghastly, sinful activities, then I'm willing to take responsibility for all your previous misdeeds. No more aggression, no more violence, looting or murder. Forever, get rid of these things. Practice religious life and chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Then, later on, you can also save others. Go and meet all the other dacoits and murderers and bring them to the path of pure spiritual life. The Lord then took the garland from his neck and placed it over the Brahmin's head, being very pleased with him. The air was resounding with the devotees' jubilant cheers of the holy name. The shackles of material nescience broke away from the Brahmin. The Brahmin threw himself at the Lord's feet and, grasping them tightly, he began calling out his name again and again, tears flowing down his cheeks. He cried out, O Lord Nityananda, you are the savior of the lost souls. Please allow this wretch a little place at your lotus feet. I was so abominable that I was malicious to you, so there's no place else for me to go. Lord Nityananda is an ocean of compassion. He placed his lotus feet on the Brahmin's head. The Brahmin became instantly purified of all his offenses. Later, this converted dacoit brought many other dacoits to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda by chanting Hare Krishna and leading a pure life. All of the dacoits discarded their old bad ways of looting and murder and began to behave gently. They were chanting lakhs of holy names and soon became experienced devotees fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. They absorbed themselves day and night in singing the pastimes of Lord Krishna with divine love. Such is the magnanimity of Lord Nityananda. In none of the previous incarnations was the Supreme Lord so compassionate as Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda gives liberation and love of God instantly to the conditioned souls. Hence, if anyone, even an elevated Brahmin, disregards Lord Nityananda, then such a person is degraded to the level of dacoits and murderers. The ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead, which are so intensely desired by the great yogis who want to experience crying, shivering, and other such spiritual emotions, is now made easily available to rogues and thieves by the wonderful divine potency of Lord Nityananda. Therefore, all of you, please worship such a merciful Lord as Lord Nityananda. By his grace, one can attain the shelter of Lord Gaurachandra. One who hears Lord Nityananda's pastimes will indeed reach Lord Chaitanya. And one who hears properly this story of the deliverance of the dacoits is assured to see face to face both Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. In this way, Lord Nityananda performs his pastimes undisturbed and with great pleasure. Sri Nityananda Prabhu Ki Jai. So I hope you all succeeded in hearing that properly. Actually, you can practically see Lord Nityananda in that pastime. Very amazing. So now, we'll conclude with another glorification of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya by Vrindavanas Thakura. Lord Nityananda's activities and character are the most confidential topics in the Vedas. They are inscrutable by any normal means. He is the supreme mystic, and he is also the original Supreme Lord, Ananta, who is holding up the entire material creation on just one of his thousands of hoods. His body is absolute and transcendental. Without Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it is impossible to properly understand him. Different people know Lord Nityananda in different ways. Some say he's exactly like Lord Balaram. Others say he's the foremost and dearest of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Again, someone else says that he is supremely potent, an expansion of the omnipotent Lord. Many other persons honestly admit that they cannot fathom his character. In this manner, people freely air their opinions about Lord Nityananda. Whatever the people might say about Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, may their lotus feet be permanently imprinted in my heart. I pray at everyone's feet to invoke everyone's blessings, that birth after birth I can remain the Lord's servant and he my eternal master. This is my only desire. After hearing all this about Lord Nityananda's boundless mercy, if anyone is so degraded and sinful as to still criticize the Lord, then I firmly kick him in his head. Lord Chaitanya is the Lord of my Lord and Master, Lord Nityananda. This fact gives me great hope and strength. Will I ever be blessed to see my Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya sitting on a throne, surrounded by all their servitor associates? All glory to Lord Chaitanya. O Lord Gauranga, kindly bless me. Being Lord Nityananda's association, I may never forget your lotus feet. Wherever you, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Nityananda appear as incarnations, there I want to be eligible to be your eternal servitor. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, humbly offer this song at their lotus feet. Any comments or questions? It's a little hard to make comments about things like this. Okay, so. Oh, Bhakti Joseph. When, what's that? When will we? When will we? Well, it can be very soon. Yeah. They just want to see that we try and do some devotional service sincerely, and then when they feel it's the right time, they'll reveal themselves. But we shouldn't doubt the blessing of Vrindavan Das Thakur, because he's none other than Vyasadeva himself in person, and he's also one of the cowherd boys in Krishna Leela, and he's also, you know, a direct associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and a disciple of Lord Nityananda. So whatever blessings he may give, they'll come true, but it may be that there's just a little bit of time separating. But we can feel, you know, secure and have faith that seeing he's given this blessing, that in due course of time it'll come true. So all I have to do is just try sincerely to render service and follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And then when they feel it's the right time, it'll come. But just being here, just the fact that we're here and we can hear these things, particularly if we're able to absorb our minds in hearing these things without the mind wandering and, you know, drifting away, that means that we've already got some mercy from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Some installment of mercy is there. So if we keep building on that mercy, then more and more mercy will come, and finally they'll just reveal everything. That's, we can be sure of that. Would you like to get that? I'm sure we would all like. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Sri Nityananda Bhat Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know how easy it'll be, but I'll try it. Dalalera Gita. Very nice song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, glorifying Lord Nityananda. It's a regular beat, but there's a slight difference in that the beat has to go fairly quickly and the singing goes a bit slower than normal, sort of. Let's see. Okay. Well, you can sort of set the beat there, okay? After Ganesha. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Parashukhe kabar gai, Parashukhe kabar gai. Parashukhe kabar gai, Parashukhe kabar gai. Sura bikun jete namer atko lete
Sorabekon jetena merakolete. Kadeneta, kadeneta. Kadeneta, kadeneta. Paramaja katata, paramaja katata. Paramaja katata, paramaja katata. Sadamulya shudanam se hatete bika. Sadamulya shudanam se hatete bika. Chatabhakta brindavase, chatabhakta brindavase. Chatabhakta brindavase, chatabhakta brindavase. Harikare dekhenam bache darokashe. Hare kare dekhenam bache darokashe. Jadinam kinbe bai, jadinam kinbe bai. Jadinam kinbe bai, jadinam kinbe bai. Amar sange chalo mahe jane kache jai. Amar sange chalo mahe jane kache jai. Tumi kinbe Krishna nam, tumi kinbe Krishna nam. Tumikin be Krishna nam, tumikin be Krishna nam. Dasturi laiva ame purna betam. Dasturi laiva ame purna betam. Paradaya Nityananda, Paradaya Nityananda. Paradaya Nityananda, Paradaya Nityananda. Sadamata Laiden, Paramananda. Paramatra Laiden Paramananda. Eva Dekhle Shaketa, Eva Dekhle Shaketa. Eva Dekhle Shaketa. Sakala samba, den shura Krishna Sika, Dan Sura Krishna Sika. Sura Krishna Sika, Dan Sura Krishna Sika. Jati Dan Vilya Bala Nakreya Beka. Jati Dan Vilya Bala Nakreya Beka. Amrishare Maya Jal, Amrishare Maya Jal. Amrishare Maya Jal, Amrishare Maya Jal. Kriya Chaka Vane Chaka Natake Chandal. Jaka vane jaka na teke janja. Anaiko kaler bai, anaiko kaler bai. Anaiko kaler bai, anaiko kaler bai. Chandala Denda Amnita Dayamar. Chandala Denda Amnita Dayamar. Bhakti Vinoda Kikai, Bhakti Vinoda Kikai. Nityananda Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premananda.
Maybe shorter than that. So this is Dalalera Gita by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Very beautiful song. I'm singing news of great happy tidings. Lord Nityananda himself has opened a marketplace of the holy name in Sarabi Kunj. The news of its great result is that he is selling the pure holy name in that marketplace for the price of only one's faith. Lord Nityananda, the proprietor of the market, seeing all the devotees becoming attracted, is selling them the holy name after bargaining with them. Oh brother, if you want to buy the holy name, then go with me. We must go to the presence of that great soul, Lord Nityananda. You will buy the name of Krishna. I'll take my commission, and all of our desires will be fulfilled. Lord Nityananda is greatly merciful. Taking only one's faith, he gives the highest ecstasy. If Nittai sees only once tears in the eyes while one chants the name Gaura, then he gives all resources to that person. He gives the pure teachings of Krishna to everyone and does not care for one's birth, wealth, knowledge and strength. Now, giving up the illusory sneer of Maya, either remain in household life or in the forest as a sannyasi, for no more troubles remain. There's no more fear of the age of Kali. The merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to even the Chandaras. Bhaktivinoda calls out, except for the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no other shelter. Sri Nityananda Mahaprabhu ki jai. So that's a very wonderful song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. How merciful Lord Nityananda is. So merciful that he's just giving the holy name liberally. Jatidan Vidyabala Nakore Apecha. He doesn't take any notice. He doesn't even see what is your birth, what is your wealth, Bala, what is your strength. He doesn't even look at those things. But what does he want to see? All he wants to see is that you have a little faith in Lord Chaitanya. That if you chant the name of Lord Gauranga, that a tear will come to your eye. Then he sees that affection and attachment for Lord Gauranga, then Lord Nityananda will be prepared to give everything. He's very merciful. So we should try to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Now, unfortunately, I haven't been able to actually prepare as I wanted to. Main reason really was that someone, not here, left a gigantic commuter on my desk, so I wasn't able to get at what I wanted, needed to get at. But I have some notes left over from this morning, which I can read through. This is all about the birth of Lord Nityananda. Perhaps some of you will be a little familiar with this, but under the circumstances, this was more or less the best I could come up with. This is actually from Bhakti Ratnakara. It's a very nice description of the appearance of Lord Nityananda and of his earlier days. Plus, it was actually told in the context. We only see the context a little later on, but it's told in the context of Mother Janava going and visiting Ekachakra. Mother Janava was one of the wives of Lord Nityananda. He had two wives, Janava and Vasudha. So Mother Janava
She became a great spiritual leader, actually. A great spiritual master. She had many, many followers and disciples, and she became, after the disappearance of Lord Nityananda, she became practically the leader, at least one of the leaders, of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, at least particularly in Bengal. And all over, she was certainly one of the great leaders of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas of that time. So this particular description, it's just so much later, this particular description is in the context of Mother Janava going and visiting Ekachakra after the disappearance of Lord Nityananda. She'd never been there before, so she didn't really know what to expect. She went with some of her devotees, and including some great associates of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. This was quite an extraordinary experience that she had when she got there to Ekachakra. Ekachakra being the place where Lord Nityananda appeared. So, what happens? It's actually an old man, I think. One old man is explaining to Mother Janava about the early days of Lord Nityananda, or Lord Nityananda's activities while he was there in Ekachakra. So the old man is describing. Hadai Pandit is the father of Lord Nityananda, and his wife is Parvati, or Padmavati, but here she's called Parvati. Hadai Pandit was very happy when he heard that his wife Parvati was pregnant. After some time, she gave birth to a beautiful child on an auspicious day, and the religious-minded ladies of the village came to see the child and bless him. Each gave a different opinion of the child. One woman questioned whether the child was actually a boy or a doll made of golden butter. Another woman commented that she'd never seen a child who could cool both the eyes and the heart. Every day a crowd gathered at the house of Hadai Oja, and for the well-being of his son, Hadai Oja would distribute money to needy people and perform other types of charitable activities. Hadai Oja's son grew like the waxing moon and remained the center of pleasure for his parents. His mother loved him so much that she never put him down from her lap. At the time of his name-giving ceremony, someone suggested the name Ram, and someone else suggested the name Nityananda for the child. When he was old enough to crawl on the ground, people spontaneously called him Nitai and wanted to hold him on their laps. People were enchanted by his sweet smile and his tiny teeth, which looked like drops of milk. Nityananda became the center of life for the people of Ekachakra. The old man continued to tell his story to Janava and her associates. They came because they came to Ekachakra, Mother Janava and her associates, and they found that the village was deserted. It was in ruins. Actually, it had been like a big town, but they found it in ruins and more or less deserted, except for this one old man. The old man continued to tell a story to Mother Janava and her associates. He said that one day he felt disturbed for some reason, so he went to the house of Hadai simply to see Nitai. When he took the child in his lap, all his misery suddenly vanished. Hadai Pandit's affection for his son was boundless, and he would never go anywhere far from the child. Once he went to the house of a priest, but returned immediately to his home to check on Nityananda. His mother used to smear turmeric powder on his body to brighten his complexion, but the turmeric seemed dull next to Nityananda's own golden color. She smeared scented oil on his head to cool his head, but his body was cooler and sweeter than the oil itself. After giving him a bath, his mother would dry him with a soft piece of cloth. Then she would dress him in silk and advise him to play in the house. From that time on, many boys would come to Nityananda's house to play with him. Nityananda was a very gentle child. Gradually, he grew to the age of 10, and with his friends, he would play only those sports which Lord Krishna had played with his friends. He would choose a particular type of pastime and then teach his friends. Sometimes, for example, he would want to reenact a pastime from the birth of Krishna. They would create the prison where Krishna was born and act out each of the events related to Krishna going to Gokula to live with Nanda. He also enacted other pastimes, like the birth ceremony of Krishna in Nanda Maharaj's house, various incidents which proved the love of Mother Yasoda for Krishna, the killing of Putana, the breaking of the cradle, the killing of Trinavarta, etc. Sometimes he chose to act out the pastime where Mother Yasoda tied Krishna to a mortar and later Krishna uprooted the Yamal Arjun trees. During each pastime, Nityananda would dress in different types of clothes and play just like Krishna had played in Gokula. He would assign the roles of Bakka and Agga to his different boyfriends. He would tell them to roar like Bakka and Agga. And then as Krishna, he would mockingly kill them. He would build a snake-shaped structure and put in it water, and put it in the water so that they could reenact the pastime of Kaliya Damana. Just like Krishna, Nityananda would sometimes kill Danaka or Pralamba while playing in the grazing grounds. Just like Krishna, he would play in the pasturing grounds, occasionally killing a demon like Vrishabhasura or rescuing Braj by lifting Govardhan. Sometimes they enacted the pastime of stealing the dresses of the gopis, and other times they pretended to kill Kamsa. But when they staged the drama of Krishna leaving Vraja, where the gopis lamented pitifully, Nityananda also cried in hopeless despair. He also enacted the various pastimes that Krishna had performed in Mathura. Sometimes Nityananda taught his boyfriends the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. For his drama, he arranged everything as an exact replica of the places and incidents which have been described by Valmiki in the Ramayana. In the mood of Krishna, Nityananda also played the role of Vamana, the incarnation of Vishnu who tricked King Bali. He also played the role of Lord Nrisingadev and mockingly killed Hiranyakashipu. Whatever pastimes Lord Krishna had performed to please his devotees were also performed by the son of Padmavati as he played with his village friends. The boys of Ekachakra liked to be with Nityananda and could not leave him for a second. The parents of Ekachakra never forbade their children to associate with Nityananda. Rather, they would decorate them with ornaments and encourage them to take part in Nityananda's transcendental play. At the time for taking the sacred thread, Nityananda was just stepping into his adolescent period, and the village people were enchanted by his beauty. In his boyhood, he became a scholar in all the Shastras and Vyakaranas, and when he was 12 years old, he looked like a boy of 15. Because of this, Hari Pandit anxiously sought out a wife for Nitai. The Brahmin gentleman of Ekachakra agreed to the idea, and someone took the initiative to select a bride from a good Brahmin family. Unfortunately, none of them could know the future.